And welcome. Good to see you all here. Title of the split sermon today will be Not Weary in Well-Doing. Be not weary in well-doing. How would you feel as a father if you had nourished your children from helpless little babies, taught them everything they need to know, right from wrong, raised them up, taught them how to behave, gave them the best of everything, and they forgot everything you taught them? Our Father, our God, founded this nation and nourished us up from nothing and blessed us with the very best of everything. Yet, we have forgotten God. Even a dumb ox knows his owner and who cares for him. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 1. And we'll start in verse number 2. Isaiah 1, verse 2. And I'm reading from the King James today. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? What this means is, why else? What else can I do to chasten you, to correct you? There's nothing else I can do. You just won't listen. Continuing, you will revolt more and more. You'll just be more rebellious. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. There's no wholesomeness. There's no sound thought even. Nothing you're doing makes any sense. Picture God just shaking his head. There's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Verse 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. Does that sound familiar? This has become the country we live in. Anymore, when people get bad news, things don't go their way, they want to turn over cars and burn something down. When they get good news, their favorite sports team wins the national championship, or they get a favorable verdict in a high-profile trial, they want to turn over cars and burn something down. I don't get it. Yet here we are in the middle of it, a very small remnant. That's verse 9. Ever get tired of it all? Turn to Galatians chapter 6, if you would. Galatians 6. Ever get tired of it? So tired that you get to the point where you think, I can't do this anymore. I just don't have the energy. Galatians 6, we'll start in verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Be not weary in well-doing. We see the line drawn between those who sow to the flesh and those who sow to the Spirit. The line is becoming more distinct, well-defined, and more easily identified. The sheep are being separated from the goats, the wheat from the chaff, and it is becoming clearer on which side of the divide we fall. We must not let it get to us and weary in well-doing. We see the division in our country with racial issues, gender issues, abortion, drug addiction, both legal and illegal, division over the First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, our border being flooded with illegal immigrants from all over the world. We can no longer have a civil discussion, it seems. We take offense at every little disagreement of opinion. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Take the vaccine, don't take the vaccine. Vaccine passports to travel or do business, no vaccine passports. Critical race theory, social justice, cancel culture that exiles you from society for everything that's said or done, even for what we think and believe. It's gotten so emotionally charged that some want to deny your very right to exist just because you disagree with them. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24, if you would, please. We can get so angry and saddened at the same time at what's taking place in our precious country. It is indeed a day of adversity. And as a result, anger, stress, fatigue, even burnout, we can become anxious, weary, and even despondent. Proverbs chapter 24, drop down to verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Faint here means become feeble, slacken, weaken, become slothful or lazy, to cease or even to forsake. Verse 11, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth the soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? You probably wonder, what does that mean? That was a little bit difficult passage to understand. Here's what it's saying. Rescue those being drawn to death and hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. Try to help them if you can. If you say, behold, we did not know it. Does not he who searches the heart consider it? And the keeper of your soul, does not he know? And does he not repay to every man according to his works? Try to talk some sense into these folks. Don't act like you don't know what's going on. We see it every day. Continuing on, verse 13. My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to the taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom. Wisdom is sweet. Knowledge of wisdom is sweet to the soul. When thou hast found it, then thou shalt be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. It's guaranteed. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. This is a message to the wicked. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief or calamity. Verse 17, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, even if it's up the stairs of an airplane. Lest the Lord see it, and it displeases him, and he turn away his wrath from him. I see many people making fun of President Biden in his state of mental and physical decline. Regardless of what we may think of him or his legitimacy as president, we need to stop it. It's wrong. Continue on, verse 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men. Fret does not convey the intensity of the word in the Hebrew. It more rightly means do not become infuriated. Aren't you infuriated when you see what's going on? Because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. He'll get his. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. In other words, those seeking to fundamentally change America, those saying they will build back better, those looking for a great reset, do not join them. Do not give allegiance to them. Verse 22, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both, the king and those that are trying to change things. Those who are sowing to the flesh will get theirs. We need but wait on the Lord. He will deal with them at his return. We, on the other hand, have chosen the way of truth, and so to the Spirit. Turn to Psalm 119, please. We will be rewarded, but in the meantime, In a time when truth has fallen in the streets, we become the object of scorn by those who do not love the truth. They have forged a lie against us, but we will keep God's precepts with our whole heart anyway. Psalm 119, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. We chose this life, didn't we? Thy judgments have I laid before me. We are dedicated to live by the truth, the way of God and his laws, statutes, and precepts. Drop down to verse 65. Psalm 119, verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We were once as they were, rebelling and chafing at the correction, but now we have laid God's judgments before us and delight in his statutes. We have chosen the way of truth. They who are sowing to the flesh have not, but take pleasure in unrighteousness. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 10. 10 and 12. Verse 10, 2 Thessalonians. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They are deceived, deluded. They know not what they do. But when truth fails, we who are dedicated to the truth become a prey to those who love not the truth. Turn to Isaiah 59. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. That quote has been attributed to George Orwell, but I can't find one place on the internet that could validate it. Doesn't mean it's not true, though. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. We will be considered extremists, revolutionaries, dissidents, when we refuse to live by lies and don't go along with the prevailing narrative, but demand to know and live by the truth. Isaiah 59, verse 15. Isaiah 59, verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. God is not pleased. He is not happy. Let's step back a second and see what's really going on here. We could get into a long, drawn-out discussion about how all these things came to pass, but at the core, what we're witnessing is the nation's reaction to the unraveling of the blessings of God. Every time we become incensed, every complaint, every rant about what is taking place in our nation is a direct reaction to God withdrawing his hand of blessing, and we don't like it. Even though we follow God's way, we get caught up right with the rest of them. We still have to deal with what's going on around us, don't we? We don't like it, but we've given our righteous God no choice. We became complacent. We fell asleep at the wheel, and now we're witnessing the train wreck. We've allowed those who do not believe in our sovereign God to force their views and changes on the rest of us. There was no intercessor, no one of sufficient force standing in the gap to repel the forces of evil. We've allowed their immorality and decadence to have a louder voice than the voice representing God's guiding principles. We didn't stop them in the beginning when we had the chance, and now evil has triumphed because good men did nothing. The nation has been incrementally transformed and over time turned away from God and godly principles and values. And so we must reap what we've sown. Without wholesale repentance at the national level, especially by our leaders in church and state, it's not going to turn around. Even the event that was designed to do just that last September 26th in Washington, D.C., which was promoted by Jonathan Cahn and Franklin Graham to be a return to God in humble repentance, included but a few of the church leaders and scant few of our political leaders. Without repentance at the leadership level, the nation is still in a state of disobedience. Turn to Jonah chapter 3. We'll talk about Nineveh. We won't get into the whale and all that. We know all that. This is what happened when he got there. Jonah chapter 3, verse 4 to 10. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." What did the people do? Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" In verse 10, our merciful God. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Let's look at verse 7 real quick. There's a little phrase there. It says, the king and his nobles. That's where the repentance lies. That's who has to repent on behalf of the nation. Did you see President Donald Trump there at that event in Washington, D.C. I spoke of? Was he in sackcloth and ashes? Did you see Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, Steny Hoyer, Kevin McCarthy, any of them making a decree for repentance and fasting? No. President Trump did issue an official proclamation from the White House supporting this national call to prayer and repentance. However, not one word about repentance. Was he there? No. Instead, he tweeted. And I quote, "Today, I am pleased to join my voice to yours in thanking God for blessing this nation with great power and responsibility. With reverence, humility, and thanksgiving, we beg for his continued guidance and protection. President Donald Trump." Repentance? Did you hear any repentance in there? No. He even issued an official statement from the White House. I'll read that. "From the pilgrims who sought his protection aboard the Mayflower to the countless believers who today bow their heads to ask for his guidance during these unprecedented times, our country continues to turn to the Lord. Following in our ancestors' footsteps, we continue the firm reliance on the protection of divine providence that provides us enduring strength and reassurance in our times of need. The trials and tribulations the American people have faced over the past several months have been great. Yet, as we have seen time and again, the resolve of our citizenry, fortified by the faith in God, has guided us through these hardships and helped us to unite as one nation under God." And the final paragraph of that statement closes out with the same statement that the President of the United States of America took 2 seconds to copy and paste into a tweet. Does that sound like sackcloth and ashes to you? Does that sound like a command that everyone turn from his evil ways? Vice President Mike Pence was there at that event on behalf of the president, and he quoted, paraphrasing from 2 Chronicles 7:14, "We stand today," I'm quoting, "we stand today on an ancient promise that Americans have claimed throughout our history, that if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray and turn, he will do like he always does, like he has always done, through much more challenging times in the life of this nation. He'll hear from heaven and he'll heal this land, this one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. God bless you all and God bless America," Pence declared. Did he lead us in praying for repentance? He referenced a Bible verse and closed out with the final words of the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag of the United States of American flag. Is that repentance? No. No, we have not repented as a nation. And God's hand is stretched out still. Only when Christ returns will there be true justice and things set right. Until then, we who are his can become extremely frustrated and feel helpless to make any meaningful changes. As we see things continue to worsen, we can feel just plain worn out. Our spirit is vexed, living in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. We sigh and cry, oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked as we dwell among them, as they torment our souls from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. You can read that very paragraph in 2 Peter 2. Just as it was in the days of Lot, we have to work hard to maintain our faithfulness in end time Sodom and Gomorrah. What is well doing? It's easy to grow weary, to lose heart when all those around us are despitefully using us and blaming us for their misfortune. It can seem like we're not making a difference, but we're here, but we're to keep on keeping on. We keep on keeping on despite that it looks like we're not making a difference. We may not see the impact of a good that we do, yet the good is done. We may not see the impact of one act of kindness, but the impact is made. Keep going. Don't lose heart. Our reward is not in this life. Our reward will come in due season when Christ returns. As this world grows darker, our light is to shine brighter, not dimmer. There are those who have been among us whose light has grown dimmer, even some whose light has been snuffed out, turning from the faith. Keep calm and carry on, as a slogan in Britain during World War II. Keep calm and carry on. Don't give up. Never, 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 never give up. Winston Churchill. Let no man steal your crown. What is well doing? What would we as followers of Jesus, his disciples, consider to be well doing? Put simply, we do those things that are pleasing in his sight, maintaining a clear conscience before God, following as he leads by his Holy Spirit. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and especially those of the household of faith, our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the love of God, that we do his commandments. We strive to learn God's way of life and to make it our own. It's not just following a set of rules. This is a lifestyle change. We adopt the teachings we learn in the Bible and make them our own. We see them as not only what we do, but who we are. We see them as a way of life, our way of life. What is well doing? It's doing those things you know you're supposed to do. Do what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, regardless of how you feel, regardless of circumstances around you. I don't need to tell you what those things are. You know full well what they are. We all know what we need to do. We grow in grace and knowledge because we trust in him and his plan for salvation. Because we trust him, we yield our wills to his, allowing his way to become our way. When we become stressed and anxious, however, our focus can turn inward. Turn to Matthew 24, please. We become focused on ourselves when we get stressed and anxious, our circumstances, how we feel. We can become less caring, less compassionate toward others. We need to be cautious to not let ourselves sink to that level. When we see what's happening that's tearing down our nation and destroying the very fabric of the societal values we hold dear, we can become infuriated. We direct our anger toward those who are doing such things and those who support their cause. Matthew 24, verse 12 and 13. And because iniquity shall abound, lawlessness. You defund the police, you're going to see some lawlessness. The love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We must endure to the end. We must not become unloving, uncaring toward them, or wish them ill will or harm. We must remember why this is happening. We must not forget that the root cause is that we as a nation have turned our back on God, and we're experiencing the effects of that. We must be careful not to come to the point that when we see others lie, cheat, and steal to get their way, that we feel justified in doing so as well. In our carnal efforts to combat them, we risk becoming just like them. If we're not careful, we too can come to believe that the end justifies the means to win at any cost, sacrificing our character in the process. Why must we not weary? Because of what's at stake. Remember why we're here, why we were born, to become sons and daughters of the living God. Anything less is to disappoint God and to forget your God-ordained purpose. Turn to Romans chapter 2, please. We need to stay focused on the future, the goal that is set before us. Romans 2, verse 7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, the glory that Christ has as the first of the first fruits, waits for us, and honor, not compromising our character, and immortality, eternal life with God in Christ. And not just for our own sake. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 15. We don't do this just for our own sake, but for the sake of others, to set the example. Verse 15, 1 Peter 2. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We need only wait patiently for them to realize it. Now, we must not overly concern ourselves with what we may lose along the way. Christ told us we would have tribulation in the world. He told us we would be hated. He told us friends and family members would betray us, even turn us in to authorities. So don't be surprised when it happens. Though it may bring sorrow in the short term, joy comes in the morning. We've already counted the cost. We've made our decision. All in this life is vanity, and temporal things cannot compare to what God has in store for us. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Turn over to Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 7. We'll read down through verse 14. Verse 7, Philippians 3. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul sums it up pretty well in this paragraph here. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to keep in mind, regardless of what's going on around us. Verse 20, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We don't look behind. We don't look back at what we've been through. We don't look back at what we've lost. We focus on the future, the kingdom of God, and press toward the mark. I'm going to give you four keys to avoid becoming weary. Four keys to avoid becoming weary. Number one, break life down into smaller segments. Break life down into smaller segments. Walter Elliot, who used to be the Secretary of State of Britain at one point in time, said this, perseverance is not a long race. It is many short races, one after the other. It can be overwhelming for us to think that we have to endure to the end. We don't know when that is. When is the end? How long do we have to put up with this? How long do we have to hang in there? How long, O Lord, holy and true? We don't know. Don't let life overwhelm you. Break it down into manageable chunks. Set your mind to endure until the next holy day. Make it through this month. Get through this week. Make it to the Sabbath. Today, we have to put up with this today. Get through today. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. I should have given you this verse while I was talking about the other part, but Matthew 6 won't take you long to get there. Well known. Probably don't even have to turn it. You can probably recite it. Matthew 6, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Just get through today. Number two. Know that you're not alone. You have your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you. Draw on their strength. We're all in this together. When you feel weak, go to your brother and confess your concerns, your weaknesses, your faults. James 5:16. When you feel strong, bolster your sister. Encourage, edify, exhort, comfort. Pray for each other. Pray together. And so fulfill the law of Christ. As we bear one another's burdens, we are fulfilling the simple law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. John 13:34 and 35. Number three. Look to God to renew your strength. Look to God to renew your strength. Isaiah 40, verse 25. Another well-known passage of Scripture. Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. We who are his can call on the sovereign ruler and creator of the universe. There is no higher power. Verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the young ones, the youths, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. In verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Number four, have a strong sense of mission. A strong sense of mission. We must stay focused on our purpose, our goal, on our mission. We have a mission to preach the gospel and prepare a people. Love your brother. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. Though 1,000 may fall at thy sides, stay strong and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stay focused, focused on the kingdom. Keep calm and carry on. And through it all, remember, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41, you're already there, close by. Isaiah 41, we'll read verse 8 through 13. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Verse 9, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee, God called us from the chief men thereof and said unto them, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Christ said very similar words on the night of his very last Passover. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. John 15:16. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. They'll get theirs. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even those that contended with you, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Last verse, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We may be in the midst of a perverse and crooked people, but we continue to do good. We follow God's way of life. We do good to those around us despite the way they may treat us. Be not weary in well-doing, but keep calm and carry on. The Lord our God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.